Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported, hands-on radio for Green and Columbia counties. And I can't breathe anymore. I'm Antonia. I'm 13, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library. I'm also from Hudson. And we have a special guest with us today.
Yay. I'm Mitchell Kazanjian. I am 17 years old from Caredom, New York.
Hooray. Yay. Green County, represent. Woo. Well, welcome to the studio.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Antonia and I are here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 p.m. talking about books. But today, we're here from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. for a special pledge drive edition of Bound by Books with our guest teen author.
Yay!
Hooray!
So how come nobody else has come in like 5 billion
years? Oh, our co-hosts?
Yeah.
Well, we have some co-hosts that have moved.
If they don't come, and we're have just going to stop saying their names at the beginning of
the
show.
It's true.
Like you did today, Emily.
And we have one co-host that does cross-country.
Oh, she's very fit now, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, so we're here talking about books. Oh, we will give a shout-out to Quinn.
Hey, Quinn.
She has a very valid excuse for not being here.
Yeah.
Because she lives in Seattle.
Yeah, that's a pretty good excuse for not coming, isn't it? Yeah.
And Garrett lives in Brooklyn.
Oh, but he's actually coming this weekend to Hudson. So, yeah. Hey, Garrett.
Hi, Garrett.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, we're in the middle of the fall pledge drive here at WGXC, where we're urging our listeners to show their support for our radio show and our radio station. We're here every week, and we couldn't do it without the radio station.
Or without the people listening to it.
And I would be so sad.
Yeah, it would be pretty sad, wouldn't it?
It would be very sad. I love this radio station. I've been listening a lot lately.
I
really enjoy the programming.
My mom put it on in the car the other morning, and I was like, what is this? Because it was so unique, I never heard it. She was like, that's WGXC. I was like, oh, that makes sense.
There you go.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in showing your support of community radio and youth radio and radio about books, hosted by Antonia in particular, because she's awesome, you could give a call.
What number, Emily?
The number is 518-828-0290.
Whoa, it's up there. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could also stop by the studio and say hi, drop
or
off a
online.
Check. Or you could...
At wjxc.com/donate.
Yeah. I think it's .org, though.
.org. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
wjxc.org/donate.
Yeah.
So many ways.
Yeah.
You could also stop by probably the Catskill Studio or the Acre Studio.
Ooh, fun. So, yeah.
Yeah. So do it. Yeah. We believe in you.
Please, because, you know...
Work those fingers on your phone.
Yay. Yeah, you can get really muscular thumb fingers. Just like Ingrid's getting really muscular legs from doing track. You can just have really muscular fingers from pushing phone buttons or keyboards or whatever. And you can also have really strong fingers if you type a lot, like writers.
Yeah, like writers.
See,
like
it all comes back to books. I know.
Yes. So speaking of writers with very strong fingers, we have local teen author... Mitchell Kazanjian with us today to talk about life as a teen author and his upcoming book, which we're very excited to hear about. It's coming out soon.
Really?
Are you ready for it, Antonia?
Yeah.
Antonia read Mitchell's first book
and
talked about it on the show.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. That was a long time ago. I don't really remember. But yeah, I liked it a lot. Because I listened to the archive of that show the other day so that I could remember what it was about. And then I thought that it sounded lovely.
I was kind of surprised that you liked it.
Oh, really?
Because
Mitchell's not a big fan.
No. When I first wrote it, I thought, wow, this is really good. And then I actually read it after it was published, and I'm like, I can do a lot better.
I think we're always... more judgmental of our own work. Or most of us are. Maybe some people are more judgmental of other people's. But that's fair.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's just so grammatically horrible. Absolutely. I didn't hire an editor. I just thought, oh, I'm 14. I'm going to use spell check. No.
It works so well.
Yeah, totally.
Sometimes it really tries to change your words up. It's fun.
Yeah. I have a lovely example of spell check.
What was that?
So my friend and I were talking about hippies. Yeah, and he really likes authentic hippies. But according to spell check, hippie is really supposed to be hippo.
Oh.
So he was like...
Authentic hippos?
He was like, the hippos that are still hippos are the real hippos. I was just like, spell check. Yeah.
Although it's a true statement still.
It is. So yeah. That was pretty amusing.
Awesome. Yeah. So how long did it take you to write your first book? And can you tell us a little bit about the first book too?
Well, it took me, I'd have to say close to a year, kind of like my next one. For some reason, I go in year intervals. Stranded Houses, my first book, was released last November, and now Shattered's getting released the end of October. And Stranded Houses it's about this guy, Declan, and he's got kind of a decent life, takes things how they come. Captain of the football team. His father left him when he was younger, and he's got one really good friend, Elena, and they've been best friends ever since they were really, really, really little. And then there's Layla, who is quite the opposite. She has a really, really horrible life, an abusive father, an abusive boyfriend, who's like a future NFL prospect. He's like 6'5" and massive, uses steroids, so he's roid raging. And Declan and Layla meet, and Layla gets really, really, really attached to Declan, and Declan's, oh, she's just a friend, blah, blah, blah. And the story kind of just jumps off from there, from Layla, because she's never really had anybody be nice to her before, thinking that this is, I love him, he's the greatest guy on earth. And then Declan's kind of just being a nice guy, and takes off from there. It's told from Layla's point of view and Declan's point of view. It switches on and off. And then in the last couple chapters, it actually goes into Declan's best friend Elena's point of view for a couple pages, and then Layla's ex-boyfriend, who I can't even think of what his name is right now, for two pages. And then very bittersweet ending, depending how you look at it. Very bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember what the ending was like at all, but I do remember at the end I was like, whoa, that was such a cool ending, but now I don't remember what it was.
I mean, you could either be really, really happy, or you could be really, really, really sad. It really just, you could be both even. I don't know how to explain it other than telling you, which I'm not all too sure I should do.
Yeah, we do avoid spoilers on the show.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You gotta read it. You can either buy a copy from Mitchell, or you can check it out from the Cairo Library. So many options.
So many.
Borrow it from a friend.
Like me.
Like Antonia.
Yeah.
Antonia picked up a copy at the Hudson Children's Book Festival.
Yay.
Hooray.
Yeah. I liked it because it was really short. And like... A lot of times you go to like author events or something and the authors are all like, well, I wrote this like zillion, million, trillion page book. And then they were all like, you have to shorten it. And I'm like, how are you having that problem? If I try and write something, I like write two pages and then I'm like, well, that's the end of that. And it's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't understand this problem of having things be too long.
See, I did that on purpose. I made it short because I love to read, and I can even read long books, but just by growing up around people who in high school and middle school who never really liked reading, but they would always enjoy the shortest books the most, I was kind of just like, oh, okay, well, let's make this really short and sweet, but let's also make it a good length.
Mm-hmm.
About 180 pages, I think. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
We read our share of big books here, but we're also a fan of the short and sweet. sometimes you're really busy and you get this feeling of accomplishment to finish the book. And sometimes I feel like that can get you out of a sort of reading slump.
Yeah.
Yeah, just knocking out a quick short book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So thank you for contributing to the short book list out there.
Yay.
I write and then I get to a certain point where like, all right, I'm getting bored with this idea. I want to start another one, but I got to finish that one.
Mm-hmm.
If I start writing something, I have to finish it no matter what it is. It just got to the point, I must have rewrote the ending to Shattered and Stranded Houses 30 different times. I have 30 different endings all saved on my computer because I always rush the ending. And then I'm like, okay, I can't do that. I got to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just keep rewriting and rewriting and rewriting until finally I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with this. This is the ending. And I keep it like that.
How is it writing from different points of view for Stranded Houses?
It was a lot of fun, and it kept me from actually getting bored with just one character because I would write from Declan's point of view and get really personal and bring all this out. And then I'm like, all right, well now I want to take a break from that and write something else. And instead of going and starting one of my other books, which I have 7 unfinished books on my computer that I add to all the time, I would just switch point of views and be like, all right, what's going on in Layla's life right now? What's she doing? And it would just go from there, go from one point of view to the next. And it keeps me interested. And I think it keeps the reader more interested to know what's going on in each person's life.
Mm-hmm.
Was it weird writing from a female's point of view? Because I know if I try and write about a guy, I'm just like, what the heck are you thinking about?
Well, I honestly had a lot of fun writing Layla's part, more fun than writing Declan's, because it was kind of me just, if I was a girl in this situation, what would I do? And it helps that at the time writing the book, and pretty much all through middle school, all of my really, really, really close friends were girls. And mainly because I was just hardcore friend zoned all the time. But my best friend, Victoria Giuliano, all my friends were just really, they're all girls. So I would just text them at, oh, I remember this one girl, Gwen. I felt so bad for her. I would text her 3 in the morning, be like, hey, how would you respond to this in a situation? And I would take her response, put sort of my own little twist on it, add some of Layla's personality, and that would be that. But it was a lot of fun. I discovered my inner female.
Have you heard anything from your friends about how they feel about the book, or do they ever question you about is that supposed to be this person, or is that
some people, my close friends, they know sort of who it's based off of, but what I do, I don't just pick one person and be like, this is it. I'll take characteristics from 10 different people in my life that I know, and I'll throw it all together and create one person. But when they actually talk about my book, most of it is just like, Mitchell, you need to fix your grammar. That was my main thing. Everybody, there was like, oh, the book is good, the story is good, but your grammar is absolutely horrible. And I agree with them. I think it takes away from it. I was reading it for the first time, and I'm just like, I don't even want to. There's just, It's just grammar. But then there was a lot of people who really didn't know me that were like, this was fantastic. I mean, I think it's amazing what you're doing. But then all my close friends are just like, Mitchell, you can do better. And I think I did a lot better with Shattered. Mm-hmm. Hired an editor. It's much more mature. I wrote it pretty much all 16, and I just turned 17. I was done. Turned 17 July 29th, and the book was done by then. So, I mean, that's 2 years since I wrote my first book. I've like to think I've matured a lot since then, hopefully.
Congratulations.
Yay.
We have too. Me and Antonia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think that in 2 years you're going to read your new book and be like, oh, wow, I did so much better with my third book? That was really weird.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely know that my next book is going to be better than this one, and the one after that's going to be better, and I'm just going to keep getting better as I go along, and eventually I hope to actually be a somewhat decent writer. Because right now, I mean, some people tell me, oh, you're really good. And then there's some people like, yeah, you're getting there. You got the potential. And I just look at myself. I'm like, You can do a lot better. And every book, every short story, every poem that I write, I look back on it. I'm like, I can do better. And then I'll go and do better. Then a couple months later, I'll look back on it and be like, I can do better than that too. And I just think I keep getting better and better as time goes on. So hopefully my third book is better than my second book.
Well, and you mentioned poetry, and I read on the Hudson Children's Book Festival website that you had somewhat of a poetry project. I don't know if it's still going on or not. Oh. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, I don't remember the exact number, but I remember, I think it was freshman year, I went through this phase where I'm just like, I want to be alone. And I think a lot of people go through that in high school, or maybe they don't, I don't know. But I just remember I was like, I want to be alone. So I made it a goal that I would write at least one poem a day. And at the end of the year, I had like 800 some odd poems. And they're all in a big box under my bed in paper. Barely readable handwriting.
That's more than one a day.
Yeah.
He's an overachiever.
There were just days where I would sit out at lunch, actually. And I would just sit there and I would knock out 7 or 8 poems. And people come up to me and be like, Mitchell, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm writing poetry. They're like, is it sad? I'm like, some of it, but I'm not sad. There's actually... Shattered actually incorporates my poetry in it. I do a lot of visual poems, so there's poetry within the poems, which mm-hmm. I think is... I studied a lot of Ellen Hopkins and how she writes and how she puts like words in her poetry in a certain slant or line mm-hmm. that makes another poem itself, and I tried to do that, and I think I'm actually pretty impressed with myself on that. And I don't really say that a lot about myself, but the writing, the poetry, I'm really, really happy with. Mm-hmm. Really happy.
And who are some other authors? I know you said you liked Ellen Hopkins. Who are some other authors that you enjoy reading?
Oh, I absolutely love Ellen Hopkins. Michael Grant is my all-time favorite. I remember ever since middle school, I read the first page in the Gone series, the very first book in that, Gone, and I fell in love with Michael Grant, Sarah Letterman, her name escapes me right now. She writes really girly books, but I can't remember. I can't think of her name right now, but a lot of Ellen Hopkins. I read a lot of random books too. I'll just find a random book and read it. Todd Strasser, I enjoy him. I actually met him at the Hudson Book Festival. Really cool guy.
Does your first book have anything at all related to your situation with your life? Like, are you reflected at all in it?
I wouldn't really say that the story is reflected around me or that it's all directly about my life, but I mean, there's certain parts in it where I do get a little personal. And I kind of go through my own inner thoughts and I incorporate them into Declan's thinking or Layla's thinking. I do that a lot in, Declan is the character in Shattered. It's Darren that's in Stranded Houses. Darren's in Stranded Houses. No, I would incorporate some of my thoughts into Darren and Layla. And I mean, I did it more so in Shattered with Declan because Declan's in Shattered. More than I would in Stranded Houses, but I mean, I feel like everybody at night has their own certain thoughts that they think about when they're alone, laying down, and some of it might be good, some nights might be bad, and I'm usually up writing at 3 in the morning, so all those thoughts are going through my mind, and I just push it into my characters.
Do you like names for guys that start with a D?
And titles of books that start with S.
Yeah.
That's your new thing, so you know.
It could be.
Oh, okay.
I don't really... It kind of just happened. I never really thought of it. Picking out names for characters has got to be the most difficult part to planning a book. And I don't plan out my writing at all. I actually let my characters write the story as it happens. I just have certain checkpoints that I want to get to. But coming up with names... Ugh. I would text, call... All my friends who have interest in writing, even people they don't, I'm like, if you had a kid, what would you name them? Give me your top 5 names. And then I get so many names and I'm like, well, now I don't know which one I want to pick. And eventually, the first one, I don't know where Darren came from. The second one, Declan, actually. I was going to be named Declan. My father was going to name me after his favorite weatherman, actually. I was going to be Declan Roberts Kazanjian. And I thought, Declan. So I used Declan, and his last name's Ross. So I took Declan Roberts and made it Declan Ross. Mm-hmm. So that's where Declan came from.
Cool. I'm curious. I know some authors have sort of a writing system that works for them. Either they have like certain times they always have to write, or certain places they always have to write, or like they always have to have a cup of coffee, or, you know, they have some kind of routine down. Do you have a routine at this point, or are you still figuring out what works best?
Routine. I think it's more of just, all right, I'll take when I'm originally thinking of an idea for a book, I will take like 15 checkpoints that I want the character to get to, and then I'll actually make the character. I'll plan out the character more than I plan out the books, and I give them personalities. I think of physical appearance. I think of everything with the character, and then I don't even know what's going to happen in most of my stories. I don't know if at the end of my book my character's going to be happy, if he's going to be mad, sad. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that I want them. Let's say the goal is to get my character to high school in the morning. I don't think wake up, eat breakfast, blah, 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 blah. I just think he's getting to high school, whatever he does there, I just sort of let him write, and I'm not really thinking at all. I'm just typing, and that seems to work for me. As for time writing, I think it's just when I have the most time, which is at night. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'll be up until all night just writing, and then I'll look up and I'll be like, oh, I have to get up for school in a half hour. So I don't really have a routine. It's more just whenever I can sit mm-hmm. down, start writing, don't think. But
yeah. have you always wanted to be an author, or do you remember when you first decided that that was something you wanted to do?
I never really, like, it's still not even my dream to be some famous author. I mean, if it happens, wonderful. But people, like, always ask me, like, oh, do you want to go to college for writing? I'm like, not really. I mean, it's something to do, and I love doing it. I really do. But when I first, it was eighth grade, my friend Sarah at the time, who's still a good friend of mine, was like, oh, I wrote this. Do you want to see it? And I read it, and I'm like, well, now I'm going to try it. And I did, and then I wrote an autobiography, and I exaggerated it so much. I was in middle school. I'm like, I'm this great person. I go out and I do all of these things, when really I never did. And I would show people, hey, look what I'm doing. People would be like, yeah, you're not doing that. So then after that, I was kind of just like, well, now I actually want to write a book. So I sat down and I started writing one, didn't finish it, hated it. And then I started writing poetry. And then I was like, well, now I want to actually try writing a book again. So I did. And that's pretty much what Stranded House is. That was just me sitting down like, hey, let's write a book. And that's the result.
Do you like to like art too, like draw and stuff, or just write?
I have absolutely no artistic talent whatsoever. I didn't even take an art class in high school. To get out of taking art class, I took a music class, because just art, I mean, if you do it, I love you. You're good at it. Great. Me, I draw stick figures, and I'm like, all right, hand that in, get a 10 on it. Oh, well. Nothing.
A 10 out of what?
100. 100. That's usually what would happen. Yeah. I'll leave the drawing and painting to my closest friend. And
Antonia. Yeah. Antonia is a very talented artist.
Yeah, guys, I'm say. Amazing. Totally.
You are?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, we were admiring the cover of Shattered. And also Stranded Houses has a nice cover that I believe you talked about on the show last time.
Yes, I did. Did you have anything to do with the cover? Like, did you make it? Do you know the people on it? Did someone else do it?
Oh, yeah. Well, the cover of Stranded Houses, the person on the very front is actually my cousin, Destiny. And then her character is Layla, to answer your question. I was listening to your...
Yeah.
Yep. The main person on the cover of Stranded Houses is actually my cousin. The people in the background is my friend Kristen and my good friend Cody from Greenville, who are sort of off in the background, can't really see them. And the photographer, Hannah Balta, who is my age and has her own business that is booming, great for her. She's wonderful at what she does. And for Shattered, the cover is, the front cover is my friend Travis Herrick, who also happens to be the quarterback on my football team. And the back cover is Taylor Gallagher. Funny story about the cover. About a little bit more than a year ago, I was actually just doing the cover to Stranded Houses, and I met this girl that I liked. And I'm like, huh, let's see if she wants to be on the cover. So I message her, I talk to her, and she's like, I can't, I gotta go to cheerleading practice. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I was freaking out frantic the day of the cover trying to find somebody to do it, and I eventually found my friend Kristen. But the funny thing about the story is that girl who I originally wanted to be on it is my girlfriend to this day. And
congratulations, you too.
Thank you. And she was quite upset with me when I told her maybe I'll put her on my next one, but I chose a different girl over her, unfortunately. She's not very happy about that.
Yeah. We're with you.
Yeah, she's not very happy about
that. Out there, not with Mitchell. Oh. No.
Sorry, Destiny.
Just kidding. All right. Well, we have to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Mitchell and maybe talk about some recent reads that we've enjoyed. But during the break, feel free to give a call, 518-828-0290. And show your support for community radio, youth radio, bookish radio, all that good stuff.
Yay!
Please support. Any donation of any amount is welcomed and appreciated. Hello. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Emily. And Antonia is in the studio with us, as per usual. And we also have a special guest, Mitchell Kazengin from Cairo,
yep.
New York, who's a local teen author. So we asked him to come on the show to share his experiences and talk a little bit about his books. And we're also in the fall pledge drive here at WGXC. So we're seeking some support to help keep WGXC on the air. And we're hoping that some listeners out there who enjoy what they're hearing will consider calling in and making a pledge of any amount.
Any amount at all. Well,
could be the money in your pocket.
Yeah. You could.
Especially if you have big bills, but also if you just have like a dollar, 25 cents. Yeah. We'll take it.
You could.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah. The number is 518-828-0290.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I discovered that it's really hard to read phone numbers without the little dash things or spaces between them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they invented the dash.
Yay.
You can also donate online at wgxc.org/donate. And maybe you already are listening to us online, but did you know you can listen online?
Did you?
I did. I do.
You do?
I didn't.
Yeah.
There's a little listen button, so you can listen to the show online, which is nice.
But you could also visit our blog.
You could.
At wearebound.wordpress.com. Mm-hmm. And we would feel really happy and we would be like, whoa, someone visited our blog.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Yeah, we post the archives for the shows on there. So if you're just tuning in and you like what you're hearing and you think, oh no, I missed the first half of the show, I wish I had heard it, you will be able to listen to it soon.
Yay.
Once we post it.
Indeed. And Emily has nice eyebrows.
Antonia likes to say that every show.
Yeah.
Though it has nothing to do with books.
But it's
if
so
you can
true.
Make that connected to books.
No, I can. I can.
Be very impressed.
Because sometimes when you're reading a book, like, for example, at the end of Stranded Houses, your eyebrows will be all like, what? And they'll move if you can do that with your eyebrows. So therefore, I connect it to books. And you're welcome.
Good work.
Yeah.
So anyways, one thing we haven't mentioned about the pledge drive is that there are many incentives for making a pledge to WGXC.
The
main incentive is just supporting community radio and feeling really great about sharing your support. There are also some premiums that you can receive for certain donations of certain amounts, like Paddleheads Paddleboards, which is across the river, has for a pledge of $50, you can get a 1 hour session where you can borrow, I think they have like kayaks and canoes and that sort of thing, paddleboards.
Yay.
So that could be a fun little outing.
My friend invited me to go canoeing today. So
probably not the best weather day for canoeing.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. What are some of the other, I think there was a gift certificate to Mexican Radio for a pledge of $100. You get a $50 gift certificate.
Swallow Coffee and Espresso.
Mm-hmm. There's some cool t-shirts.
That I didn't get.
There's a cool tote bag.
Yes, yes, there are. And Emily needs more tote bags.
Yes.
Because tote bags are fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And another somewhat secret incentive, it's not really a secret, but I haven't said it yet, is that for every pledge that we get during our show, both last week and this week, for each pledge, we're going to be donating a book to an area library, a book for teens. We have a really good collection of books, many of which are signed by the authors, which is very special. And so with each pledge, that's just an extra add-on.
It is.
So with your pledge, you get to support community radio. You get to support youth radio, shows by folks like Antonia. You might get a nice little premium, like a t-shirt, a tote, an hour session on the Hudson River or wherever you want to go with your board.
Yay.
And you get to support local youth, young readers, and by supporting a donation to their library.
Yay.
They're all tax deductible too. All the donations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you wanted to do that, you'd have to have the number, wouldn't you, Emily?
You would.
Emily should read it. Cause
you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Because I have dashes, or I don't have spaces.
You have dashes,
so
though?
You could call 518-828-0290. Again, that's 518-828-0290.
Or online at wgxc.org/donate.
Mm-hmm. And the whole fall pledge drive goal is to raise $35,000, which goes towards general operating support, which helps cover rent and things related to getting the signal to the tower, which I don't really understand, but it happens like magic, and I love it. But it's really science. It's not really magic, but it feels like it's the kind of science that feels like magic.
It's definitely magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Magic.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And then there's some staff members that work here that do great work. Shout out to the staff. Hello. And so it's all very basic, basic general operating support. It's nothing fancy. Yeah. Just the basic needs of the studio to keep us on the air. So every little bit helps.
Have you ever written a book about magic?
Unfortunately, I have not. I'm not that creative. I wish I was, but Harry Potter has got to be up there in top 10 favorite books. I read so many, so top 10 is pretty big for me.
Well, magic, I don't know. I don't like to read magical books, like fantastical books, but I don't mind writing them because I feel like if you write a book about magic and suddenly your character is like stuck in a ditch, and if you weren't writing a magical book, you would be like, oh, darn it, how do I get him out of here? When you're writing a magical book, you can just be like, oh, yeah, magic, whatever. And then
lazy nice. Writing.
Exactly.
But sometimes magic lands you in a ditch.
Yeah, but then you can get out with magic again.
Your magic books are very interesting.
I know. It's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah. The plot's really interesting to follow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yep.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I was interested in learning more about your experience with self-publishing, because I know your books have been self-published.
Book.
Well, book and upcoming book. Book in the process of being published.
Yeah, about 3 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. But, oh, Lord. It was... I'll start at the very beginning then. When I first wrote Stranded Houses, I went out and I never even heard of self-publishing before. So I went on Google, found about 15 different publishing companies and emailed them. And you can submit a manuscript, I think that's how it's pronounced. Yeah. So I did that. And out of the 15 that I emailed, I got a response from 8. And about out of the 8 that responded to me, only about 2 or 3 of them were interested in offering me some kind of contract or printing deal. So I narrowed down the 3 because you can only really commit to 1. So I narrowed down the 3 to 1, and I got pretty far with them until we got to the talking about money and the percentages. And I think they thought I was stupid, or maybe they just start out taking, I think it was 80%, but I thought that was kind of ridiculous. So I figured, you know what, I'm going to find an alternate way to get this out there. So I pretty much just ended all negotiations with them, because if I write a book, I'm going to get as much profit as I can from it. Not that I'm doing it for the money, but simply because I wrote it, I'm not going to give somebody 80% of it. So I went out and I was looking things up, and I came across self-publishing, and I thought, okay, well, let's look into this. And I looked into it, and I never realized how much went into publishing a book. The barcode, the ISBN, text layouts, you got to get everything in the correct format so it can go through a printer. You got to get the cover in the correct dimensions, DPI, which I don't even know what that stands for to this day. But it was the first time I did it, it was very eye-opening to a lot of the stuff. And it's, I don't want to say it's impossible, and it's not, it's challenging. But I think anybody who wants to do it is more than capable of doing it. You just got to look things up and make sure that you're not getting screwed out of money, because you're putting in $1,200 to get 200 copies of your book. You want to make sure that you're not losing all that money. Mm-hmm. So it was, I as I said, I never realized how much went into it. You got to pay your photographer to get the picture of the book, or you got to pay a designer to get the cover of the book done. You got to get the text in the correct format. You got to put it in the correct spacing. You got to put it in the correct PDF form. It's a whole long process, but in the end, it's definitely worth it when you finally get your book in your hands and you look at it and you're like, I did this. Nobody else did this. I did it. People helped me, but in the end, I didn't have to go through some big company in order to publish a book. Which I think is a great thing, that even people my age, I always hear people my age, this would always frustrate me. This is probably one of the big reasons, minus the money thing, as to why I did self-publish. Because people my age was like, oh, I can't do that. I'm 15, 16 years old. I can't be in a band. I'm too young. That's not true. Maybe it was a couple of years ago, but now, if you're dedicated and you're committed enough, you can really do anything you want in this world. And I just sort of wanted to show people my age that, yeah, we're young, but, you know, we can do it. We can write books. We can be authors. We can be musicians. We can be whatever we want to be. And I think I'm going to stick with self-publishing for a while, and mm-hmm. unless I get super big and can't produce the books myself. But I'm sticking with it. I like it. It's fun.
Yay. But, so, like, if you self-published, how do you, like, get your book out there and, like, get people to actually read it,
know about it? You got to have a lot of local support. You really do. You got to have support from your friends. You got to have support from just people that you know in general, because word of mouth is, I would have to say, more important than Facebook, Twitter, or anything else. Because if you don't have people talking about your book, then they're not going to post anything about it on social media. But if you have your local support and you show people what you're committed to doing and how you're doing it, and you produce something that they're interested in, then eventually your name will get out. And as I was telling Emily earlier, it turns out I have a fan club in Ireland that I found out about they came to Zoomflume and they met me because I'm a lifeguard there, and just word of mouth got around and they bought my book and liked it, and just word of mouth, it gets around. Go to book festivals, like I went to Hudson and I met a bunch of people that enjoyed my writing.
And then one of them was like, hey, you should come to the radio station. And then you were like, okay.
It's funny. I remember a lot of people I met there, but I don't really remember seeing you or coming to buy my book.
Yeah. You spelled my name wrong.
Every single person that came up to me and they asked me to sign, I'm like, okay, how do you spell your name? Because not only is my handwriting horrible, I can't spell. I really can't.
So you need spell check. You can't do that when you're signing, though.
No, spell check. It's a great and horrible thing at the same time.
There's a trick I've seen at other author signings where the person writes down their name on a post-it note and hands it to the author. So you could always have people write their name down just to make sure you spell it right.
I could. I never thought of that.
Little trick there for you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Fancy, Emily. Wow, you really thought that out.
Yeah, I like when people spell out my name for the author. I'm like, yeah. I guess there are different ways to spell Emily, but...
Emily?
It's pretty commonly spelled the way mine is.
E-M-I-L-Y. Emily?
Mm-hmm. Like, literally a week ago when Emily was like, oh, Mitchell's going to come to a radio station. That was when I realized your name was Mitchell. I always thought it was Michael from, like... forever.
Everybody always does. You should at my football games when they announce me out, they're like Michael Kazunjian. I get a kick out of it now.
Mm-hmm.
It used to sort of bother me when I was younger, but now I'm like, all right, okay. I'm Michael.
Your friends are like, yeah, Michael.
Yeah.
Woo!
They really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's
So Stranded Houses was your debut novel. And I know you went to the book festival, and you mentioned earlier when we were talking that you'd done a signing at Caro Library.
Mm-hmm.
Was that your first author event, or what is your experience with author events? Have you had, what was it like going to your first one?
The Hudson Book Festival, that was my first, mm-hmm. like, official one, and I was just sort of overwhelmed. I got there, and it was funny. When I was sitting there, people would walk past me and be like, do you know when Mitchell's going to be here? And I'm like, I would mess with them. I had fun. I messed with them. I was like, oh, I don't know. He's supposed to be back in like 30 minutes. And then they come back. They're like, where is he? I'm like, I don't know. And then they would come back eventually and be like, listen, I only came here just to see this. I heard he was coming and he's really young. And I'm like, oh, it was me. I was just messing with you. And then they buy my book, and it was... Oh, the dinner the night before, we had a author dinner at one of the restaurants.
American Glory.
Yeah. Yeah. And being up there and seeing all these authors in one room, they all sort of looked at me. They're like, wait, why is he up here? And then they're like, oh, yeah. And they're looking through the thing. And what's his name? I can't remember. Oh, Terry Truman.
Mm-hmm.
He's a character. I love that mm-hmm. man. He was like, comes up to me. And he shakes my hand like, we all envy that you've done this now. And we're all in our 50s. Like, nobody cares that we're in our 50s writing a book. But everybody's just coming to see you because you're so young and you're doing it. And just after he sort of introduced me around to people, it was overwhelming just having all these authors who I've grown up reading and still read stop and talk to me. And it was a great experience. We passed a lot of knowledge down to me, and it was very grateful. I'm actually looking forward to it next year. It's really fun talking to authors. I think out of all the famous people, I mean, the way I see it, people are people, but out of all the famous people, I think authors have got to be the nicest. I mean, even the big ones like Ellen Hopkins or Michael Grant, you can talk to them on Facebook. Just add them on Facebook and talk to them, and they'll respond to you. And it's really nice. It was a good experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're almost out of time for today. So I do want to do one more reminder to our listeners. If you're looking to show your support of WGXC, which we hope you are, we are in the fall pledge drive, and the phone number to call in to make a pledge of any amount is 518-828-0290. And that's 518-828-0290.
Or online.
Oh, yes,
at online. WGXC.org/donate.
Mm-hmm. And all donations are, of course, tax deductible. Enjoy that tax deduction. It'll be great.
Yay.
But we do want to thank Mitchell for joining us today. Not to be confused with Michael. It's his evil twin, Michael. And before we go, I was wondering, is there anything else that you were hoping to share today that we didn't get to talk about, or do you want to talk more about your upcoming book?
I don't know. Whatever, nothing's off limits with me. Whatever anybody feels like asking, I'm more than open to talk about. Writing, not writing, whatever it is.
Yeah, tell us about your not writing. actually, with Shattered, one of my questions, because I know Stranded Houses was written from a few different points of view. Do you have a similar thing with Stranded, or is it from one point of view, or is it omniscient, or what's the POV?
It's told from Declan's point of view the entire mm-hmm. time. And, well, no, actually, I lied. There's one chapter where, well, it's only like a paragraph long, but it's told from Valerie's point of view, another girl in that book. And I tried to stick with one point of view in this book, and I actually did. And there's a lot of poetry in it in between. I got really personal with Shattered, actually. Really mm-hmm. personal.
How long is it?
It's actually shorter than the first one. It's shorter than Stranded Houses. It's about 20 pages shorter, I'm pretty sure. Mm. Pretty sure that's what the final text layout was. But.
Huh. And when does it come out again? You said later this month?
Either end of October, early November, mm-hmm. depending on when they all get shipped out and about. The printing company doesn't really like to tell me until last minute. It's one of the downsides of self-publishing. You don't really know until a week prior, but I'm getting my first copy this week, and then after I get my first copy, that's when everything is being produced and shipped out, and it won't be long after that. So I'd say 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any plans for a book release party? Or
I was thinking that, but I'm not really sure where or how I'd do that. I tried contacting Albany Public Library, but they never got back to me. I don't know. I was thinking of doing some, but I'm not exactly sure how
no
to.
No plans yet.
Any suggestions?
Well, there's always your local libraries. There's local bookstores. Maybe interested.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll figure something out.
You always do something at your school. Although that's probably more closed off of a community. Unless they let people come in.
Oh. I remember.
But it seems fun to celebrate your successes.
Did you do anything last time, like when you released your first book?
I walked around with a giant book for about 2 months in my a giant box full of my books for about a month or two in school, and then I'm like, all right, well, everybody who in school that wants one has got one.
Oh, that's nice.
So now I'm gonna go around and about and sold them out of the back of my car.
I like the idea of you walking around with a giant book. Kind of like a giant check, you know, like, congratulations. You could be like, congratulations, I got this new book. It's huge.
I was actually really surprised on how much the teachers really wanted it and supported it. But then I think they read it and their comments were the same as mine. They're like, the grammar. What are you doing? And I get a lot of controversy about Stranded Houses. They're like, how could somebody your age write that? Mm. And I'm like, I mean, we're not all as innocent as you think, unfortunately.
Exactly. But that was my lovely comment when I talked about it like a really long time ago on the show. I was like, thank you mm-hmm. for letting people know that, because I feel like they're always like, oh, and like I go to a lot of places with my mom and her friends, and one of them will like swear and they'll be like, oh gosh, I'm sorry. There's like a kid here. Whoa.
Yeah, and then I always tell people, you know what, you should come to high school for a day and just take a look and see, and you'll be very surprised.
Yeah, I always hear them talking, and I'm like, do you want to come sit at our lunch table? And you can.
Yeah, it's we're not as innocent as people think, unfortunately.
terrifying. Well, before we sign off, I want to remind you it's the Fall Pledge Drive. So go to wgxc.org/donate to show your support or call 518-828-0290. You can find Bound by Books Youth Radio on the web at wearebound.wordpress.com. And Mitchell, where can we find you online?
You can look me up on Facebook, Mooch Publishing, or you can just even type my name in on Facebook bar, add me, talk to me. You can email me at Mitchell_Kazanjian.com at Yahoo, yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. I'm just a teenager. Add me on Instagram, Twitter, anywhere. I'm just just like any other teenager my age, except I happen to write books. Mm-hmm. So
and publish them.
And publish them.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Well,
thank you for having
me. It's great to have you on. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everyone out there, for listening.
Yes, thank you.
And for joining us for another special one-hour show.
And you can listen again next week.
Mm-hmm.
But it might just be half an hour.
It may. But we're here every Monday at 3:30 talking about books because we love them.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Have a good week. Happy reading.
So long.